As you can see, we're going to do things a little differently this morning than our regular service. Emily's away, and so the mice will play kind of a thing. But we want to share with you something different. The order of the worship has changed. There was a unison prayer of thanksgiving. Now we're going to combine the scripture lesson and the meditation together as we share with you a story, kind of in the form of reader's theater. One of the things that I really enjoy doing is taking a story within scripture and bring it to life in some kind of way, rather than it just being read by the liturgist. I like to give the characters themselves some life, a voice of their own, so to say. Hopefully this adds a bit of life to the service or to the reading, and it enables us to look at it in quite a different way. This morning I want to introduce you to a young man by the name of Levi and take you to his hometown of Bethany. But listen for the story, for Levi will tell you what's up. Greetings, my friends. My name is Levi. I live in Bethany, a small village not far from the holy city of Jerusalem. It's filled with ordinary people, mostly Galileans, who settled in the area after migrating from the north. Bethany is a respectful distance from the big city and from the temple, and long ago it became a respite, a place for care of pilgrims who arrived there after their long journey from up north. It was also a place where folks in the city could come out and find care and nurture among its community. Jesus of Nazareth often stopped by in Bethany, and he stayed with his friend Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus was a traveling rabbi who was often accompanied by a band of disciples. There was a story once that went around Bethany that one time the disciples got into a very heated argument. Mary had poured some perfume on Jesus' feet and anointed him, but they were upset. They believed that the money could have been used in a better way. It could have been used for the poor. But that's not the story I want to tell you about. This one is almost unbelievable, but I can testify to it because I saw it with my own eyes. It was an ordinary day in Bethany, in our little village, filled with people going about doing their business. But for these two sisters, things were not going well.
When Lazarus first became ill, my sister Mary and I tried all the usual ways of nursing him back to health.
But nothing worked.
Soon, word got out about Lazarus' illness, and a lot of people stopped by to check on him.
After a while, I became nervous. I asked Martha what we should do. I said, "Martha, we must do something. He's near death."
That is when Martha said,
"We need to get a message to Jesus that the one he loves is ill. He will come right away. He'll know what to do."
Now, you would think that due to the relationship, the special relationship that Jesus had with Lazarus and his sisters, that he would rush to their side. But he didn't. Instead, he stayed where he was for two more days. His disciples urged him to go on, but he said,
"I need not hurry. This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory. Let us go on to Judea and continue our work."
I guess he wasn't neglecting or being indifferent to the situation. He just believed there was a purpose for what was happening, and so he went on and continued teaching. We were told later along the way Jesus had spoken about Lazarus, saying that their friend had fallen asleep and that he was going there to awaken them. But later he confessed that Lazarus was dead. Well, by the time Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. The air around the town was heavy with sorrow and sounds of people grieving.
We just sat in our house. Our hearts were broken.
I kept saying over and over, I wonder why Jesus didn't come. He loved Lazarus so much. I'm sure he could have done something. Why didn't he come?
Martha was the first to notice Jesus coming into town.
I ran out to greet him. I was puzzled as Mary about him not coming earlier. With a trembling voice, I said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Jesus offered no excuses for not coming any earlier. No platitudes about death. He just looked at her with a sense of compassion, and he said,
Your brother will rise again.
I thought I knew what he was talking about, that Lazarus would rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus leaned in closer and said,
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Do you believe this?
His question was a simple one, but what he had said before it was profound. Believing in him would bring an end to death as we knew it. Now Martha was a woman of great faith and had no trouble answering him immediately.
Yes, Lord, I believe.
At this point, Martha went back into the house to get her sister.
Jesus has arrived and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she rushed out to the place Martha had first met Jesus, and she knelt down before him, repeating her sister's words.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Jesus must have been deeply touched when Mary arrived and spoke to him, because you could see there were tears in his eyes. Those who had been grieving with Mary and had come out with her saw him crying and remarked about his love for his friend. But there were some who were upset with Jesus, and they said he opened the eyes of the blind. Why couldn't he help this man keep him from dying? Jesus asked to go to the tomb to see where they had laid Lazarus. It was then that the strangeness of this event began. Jesus said,
Take away the stone. Open the tomb!
There seemed to be a collective gasp that went up from everyone there. What was he saying? You can't open the tomb. It's been too long. Martha responded to his plea,
Lord, already there's a stench, because he has been dead 4 days.
But Jesus looked at her sternly and said,
Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
Yes, we all wanted to see God's glory, but I'm sure everyone was thinking the same things.
It's going to stink to high heaven.
The body has started decomposing.
Is he going to go inside?
I was thinking to myself about this whole ordeal. It's time to let go and move on and get on with life. We have to accept what has happened. But then I remembered that question.
Do you believe?
My heart wanted to answer like Martha did. I could hear her saying those words.
Yes, Lord, I believe.
Open the tomb,
he said. But for Mary and Martha, it meant opening back up all
the misery,
the shattered dreams,
the lost hope,
the brokenheartedness.
I know what they must have been feeling.
Don't. I can't. I can't go through it again and feel so helpless. You can't change the truth of what has happened.
But Jesus said,
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die.
Why was Jesus stirring things up? Couldn't he just let it rest in peace?
Open the tomb!
Well, again, things got interesting. A few men walked up to the tomb, took away the stone, and we waited to see what would happen. Jesus stepped forward, looked up and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me.
It was like a prayer. And then he shouted with a voice that everyone could hear,
Lazarus, come out!
In amazement, we watched as the dead man came out of the tomb.
I couldn't believe it.
Neither could I.
He was still bound, hands and feet, with the cloth strips they had put on him.
The cloth with which they had wrapped his face was still there.
It was unbelievable. He was dead. And now he was standing there right in front of us all. Not a word was spoken. No one moved even a muscle. Then gradually, you could hear the gentle sobs of joy that came from both Mary and from Martha.
Lazarus!
Oh, Lazarus!
Then Jesus said,
Unbind him and let him go!
Let him go. More amazing words have never been spoken. He who was dead was now alive and standing right there before us. Now, I don't know what to say. I wish you could have been there. All I know is that Jesus' words came to life that day. God's glory was seen. He truly is the resurrection and the life. As I mentioned before, I like to create these semi-fictional stories of a character who was present and witnessed perhaps firsthand what Jesus had done. Hopefully a little bit of dramatization adds something to the story that brings it life and it shines a light on what we might learn from such an event. This story is included in a collection of stories where Jesus uses the phrase, I am. You may remember Jesus saying, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This I am phrase demonstrates Jesus has the ability to defeat the power of death, to release those wrapped in bondage, and to restore life to what seemed to be lost. Looking very closely at the story, I think there is much that we can sort out, much we can discern. There are three things that came to my mind immediately. First, God's delays are not God's denials. We may sometimes become frustrated, even angered with God, when we lift up our prayers and then nothing seems to happen. We don't understand why God doesn't respond immediately to our request for something that we want. We may even want to shout out Jesus' own words that whatever we ask will be granted to us. But I think this phrase confuses us, and our selfish understanding of what Jesus said is incorrect. Jesus' words are not that we will get what we want, but rather that God hears our prayers and will answer them. What we have trouble understanding is that sometimes God waits. And it is not to punish us, or to deny us, or to frustrate us. As Jesus notes in this story, the delay is so that the glory of God might be revealed. Sometimes timing is everything. What we want and when we want it may not be seen by God as important factors in determining how and when to answer. We are called to let God be the judge, to let go of the idea that we know what's best, and to leave it to the one who does. A simple phrase comes to my mind: give it to God and let it go. A second thought is that Jesus meets us in our grief. He feels our pain. He shares it with us. We are not left alone to struggle with the agony of suffering, not left alone to wallow in our grief, not left alone to experience hopelessness. As Jesus came to Mary and Martha, his words were that he was the resurrection and the life. He is the one who brings strength in times of suffering, hope in the midst of grief and hopelessness. Jesus walks with us and enables us to get through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter what that valley may look like. The phrase, I am the resurrection and the life, means that the promise of the resurrection is not lodged in some distant future event, but is available now through Jesus. Jesus shares completely in God's ability to give life. As the resurrection and the life, Jesus defeats the power of death in the future and in the present. It is a present reality. Jesus brings to life the dead places in our hearts when we're willing to confess as Martha did, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." It may seem a bit strange, but for me, two of the most important phrases spoken in this story are, "Open the tomb," and "Unbind him and let him go." In the first phrase, I hear Jesus saying that we need to open up the tombs that lock away our sense of hope, our peace, our belief that God and with God all things are possible. Jesus calls us out, "Open the tomb and let me bring life to your spirit, restoration to your soul, possibility to that which seems helpless." In that second phrase, he tells us that he has the ability to do what we may not be able to do for ourselves, to unwrap the bindings that surround us, those things that restrict us, that keep us from living life in its fullness, to unbind those parts of our lives that need to be set free from sin and worry and fear. Jesus' words are, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live." Thanks be to God. Amen.